Good morning. Today's Daf and Yevamos is Ches. We're on Zayin Beis. We're halfway down in the Amud, and a continuation of a really long discussion in the Gemara regarding the mitzvah of Yibam, and specifically the Isser of Arayus as it relates to Yibam. Now, again, as we've said since the beginning of the Masechta, so the mitzvah of Yibam has built in attention, and that is that on one hand there's a mitzvah. You have a mitzvah to marry your now widowed sister-in-law, and at the same time she's an erva. So how does the tension work? So the answer is it works. It's a gross oversimplification, but it works. In other words, the Torah allows and instructs you to marry your sister-in-law. Now, if she's any other erva other than being your sister-in-law, and when I say sister-in-law, by the way, it's imprecise, because I mean specifically your brother's wife. She could also be your sister-in-law by being your wife's sister, which we're going to get to in just a moment. But in other words, the Torah only allows you to marry her if she is your brother's wife, if she was your brother's wife. But for any of the other Arayus, i.e. notably, let's say she's your daughter, right? That means to say your brother married your daughter, and now your brother died, and now she's not only Eshesach, but she's also Bito. So under those circumstances, you can't marry her. Now, why not? So the Gemara on Daf Gimel tells us why not. The Gemara on Daf Gimel Amud Beis brings a Braisa. The Braisa is very long. It covers the entirety of the Amud Beis. And the Braisa says, because we have a drasha. Right? The word is Aleha, and you're going to hear that word again and again in today's daf, but we have a drasha that tells us that she's usher. Which means what? It means that had there not been a drasha, it would have sounded like the halacha would be that you can marry her. Why? Because the mitzvah's essay of Yibam is going to be docha the los essay. It's a los essay sheish bo kares. Okay, yeah, I know. It's a los essay sheish bo kares, but maybe the mitzvah's essay is stronger. And so what the Gemara now has done, on daf, everyone follow, Dalet, Hey, Vav, Zion, and today's daf as well, is trying to understand this idea that I need a drasha. I need a drasha to tell me that you can't go ahead and marry her, because short of the drasha, without a drasha, the halacha would be that the essay is going to be dochalos essay. Is that possible that an essay could be dochalos essay sheish bo kares? So that's a wonderful question. And the Gemara has been struggling with this question now for a long time. Obviously, it's a really fundamental question, and the Gemara has now spent a considerable amount of time discussing it in yesterday's daf on Zion. So the Gemara has gone through a number of different avenues in terms of trying to figure out why I need the drasha of Aleha. What would have led me to have thought and consider the fact that you would be able to marry her, that the Torah has to go out of its way to tell us that you can't marry her. So if you remember in yesterday's daf, so we went some really unexplored avenues. We did a number of the Midosh HaTorah Nedreshes Behem of Rabbi Shmuel, ones that are not popular. We did yesterday numbers 8 and 11. So number 8, Davar Shehayah B'Chlav Yatzeh Min HaKlal. Number 11, Davar Shehayah B'Chlav Yatzeh L'Adam B'Davar HaChadash. And we thought that maybe we could analyze in one of those two ways. And the Gemara says, really, you can't. Okay, that's another oversimplification of yesterday's daf. But the Gemara has been struggling to understand why I need the drasha. So the Gemara now today is going to go in round number. Now, I lost count at this point in time. It is a really long sugya in the Gemara. Right? Whatever. There's a sugyas and Gemaras. Go a paragraph, go maybe an amud. Right? This sugya over here, this is now day 5 of this sugya. So it's a really long sugya. And the Gemara now is going to try a different pathway, different avenue in terms of understanding this fundamental question. Why would I have thought that you would be able to marry your sister-in-law? She's not only Eshesach, but she's another Erva. The Torah clearly is entertaining that you're allowed to marry her, and the Torah has to go out of its way to tell you you can't marry her via drasha. But without the drasha, you would be able to marry her on what basis? So, Uminan Temra. No, let's back up. So, okay, so I'll back up over here. Okay, we did this yesterday, but I'll start again over here. Zayin Amud Beis, 6-7 lines down from the top of the Amud. So the Gemara says, okay, so we have what's called a Binyanav. It's a precedent. So if the Torah allows you to marry Eshesach, which is an Erva, so she's another Erva as well, Achos Isha, or whatever other Erva, so you could do it. So the Gemara says, Midami, it's not comparable, Hasam Chadisura, Hachatre Yisura, what are you talking about? If it's Eshesach, it's one Erva. If it's Achos Isha, by definition, it's two Arayas. Why is it two Arayas? Because again, Yibum, by definition, already introduces us to the fact that she's Eshesach. And on top of that, it's also Achos Isha. And again, how do you get to that case? By two brothers marrying two sisters. So now, in that circumstance where two brothers married two sisters. So now when one of the brothers dies, so the woman is, the widow is to the surviving brother, both Eshesach and Achosisha. But that's two arayos. So the Gemara says, So here the Gemara says, okay, so this is exactly where we left off yesterday. Let's pick it up right here. I might have entertained the idea of Hol Vishtari Shtare. This is a really interesting concept. It doesn't come up that often throughout Shas, but here is one of the main sugyas of this topic, and that is, look, the Torah gives an allowance. Once the Torah gives an allowance, so let's continue with that allowance. So the Gemara says, where do we know this from? Where do we see this idea of once an allowance is given, so then Viter? Continue with the allowance. So the Tanya will enter the following brisa. Okay, now, in this brisa, there are going to be a lot of moving parts, and I'm going to do this a little too quickly. I apologize on the front side. So, mitzvah shechal shmini shalav erev Pesach. So, you have a mitzvah where his eighth day now coincides with erev Pesach. So, what he would love to do, of course, is finish the tahara. Now, the tahara already was completed on day number 7. He told him the mikvah on day number 7. He had erev shemesh, so he's tahor. However, he's what's called a mechusar kippurim. He still needs to bring his karbanos, and that is done on day 8. Day 8 happens to coincide with the 14th day of Nisan, and now he would love to bring this karbanos for his saras, because as a mechusar kippurim, he can't yet go into the Beis HaMikdash, and he can't eat karban. And considering that today is Erev Pesach, and he's going to want to bring his karban Pesach, and certainly tonight he's going to want to eat his karban Pesach. So far so good. Everything's on schedule, meaning we are at the deadline, but everything's fine. Meaning he'll just bring his karbanos of saras on that day. Parenthetically, I'll say under my breath, good luck to him, considering the fact that a couple million people are in Yerushalayim wanting to bring the Karban Pesach. Okay, but they're not bringing until the afternoon anyway. So he'll bring his Karbanos today, and in doing so, he'll be able to offer his Karban Pesach and eat it tonight. So far, so good. Here comes the problem, however. V'ra'al kari b'bayom. So what happened was is that on that day, he also becomes a Baal Kari. He has a seminal discharge. Now, v'tavol. And he toveled in the mikvah. Now, here comes the problem. The problem is that he's what's called now a Tvul Yom. Now, as a Tvul Yom, so he is barred and banned. Where can he not go? He can't go in the Azara. Quite frankly, he can't even go in Har Habayis as a Tvul Yom. Now, Amru, Chachamim, so the Chachamim said, under these circumstances, Afa Pishein Tvul Yom, Acher Nechnas, Ze Nechnas. Now, I know a Tvul Yom is not allowed to enter into this area. It's a restricted area for a Tvul Yom. That's generally true. This one can go. Why? Because consider now, if he doesn't go, so then he won't be able to bring Karban Pesach. Failure to bring Karban Pesach is an Isser Kares. So the assay of Pesach is far overweighs the assay of being restricted from this area. Now you think being restricted from this area is a lav. I would have thought that as well. The Gemara is not calling it a lav. The Gemara is calling it an assay. V'yishalchu min ha-machaneh. You are to be sent out. Okay, so I understand. Hold it. So I understand that being sent out could be phrased as a lav. The Gemara is understanding it clearly over here as an assay. So now, the assay of Karban Pesach is going to override the assay of Vishachu, because the assay of Karban Pesach has with it an Isser Kares. Okay, so now, what do we see over here? So we see that we're giving an allowance. But over here, just to understand this a little bit better, we have to know a couple pieces of information. First, the Gemara. So first of all, what are we talking about over here that there's an assay? So Rav Yochanan goes on to clarify, it's not a bona fide assay. His restriction, his prohibition from being in the Har Habayis is not a Torah prohibition. How do I know that? V'yamod Yehoshafat b'kal Yehuda lefnei ha-chatzar ha-chadashah. Pasuk in Divrei Yamim, describing Yehoshafat, one of the kings of Yehuda, who is standing in the new courtyard. New courtyard? What's new about the courtyard? Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash. It's not new. So my chatzar ha-chadashah. So Amar Rav Yochanan shechitshu ba-dvarim. So there is new legislation that was passed. She'amru Tvul Yom lo yikanes l'machna leviyah. Which is that a Tvul Yom cannot go into Har Habayis. So, if you were a Baal Keri and you toveled in the mikvah, and now you have the status of being a Tvul Yom, so now your restriction from being in the Har Habayis is not Issa D'Oraisa, it is an Issa D'Rabbanan. The Issa D'Oraisa is before you toveled in the mikvah, but after you toveled in the mikvah, you're still not yet Tar, you still need Harav Shemesh, but still, from the point of Tvul Yom to the point of Harav Shemesh, there is rabbinic legislation that bans and restricts you from being in the Har Habayis. Again, I know I'm doing all this too quickly, I recognize that, just play the tape back and listen again. The Amar Ula Matam. Now, here's now where the Gemara is going to make its point of Hovi Shtari Shtari. So Matam Hovi Hutal Asaras or Hutal Kiryo. Since it was mutter for the tzara, it's also mutter for the kiryo. As Rashi points out over here, everything I'm saying right now is coming out of Rashi. I'm just paraphrasing. Now, we know that the Metzora is going to do the following procedure. You see, the Metzora, for his Mechusar Kippurim Karbanos, is going to go into the Har HaBayis, which he's allowed to do. He's going to go right up to the doorway of Nikanor. He's actually going to be in the door of Shar Nikanor. The doorway of Shar Nikanor, which separates the Har HaBayis, actually as Osnashim, which is part of Har HaBayis, and that of the Azara, so the doorway itself is not invested with the Kedusha of the Azara. It has the Kedusha of Har HaBayis. Now, when he takes his... He can't go into the Azara because he's still Mechusar Kippurim, restricting him from the area of the Azara. On the other hand, the blood of the Karban Ashim is going to have to be applied to his right thumb, his right toe, his right earlobe. How is all that going to work? The blood cannot be taken out of the Azara. So we have what's called a standoff. So what the Torah therefore says is that what you do is that you take your thumbs and you put your thumb into the Azara. You take your toe and you put your toe into the Azara. And this is what's called Bia B'miktsas. This is a partial entrance into the Azara. Is Bia B'miktsas Shmei Bia? Ula is of the opinion throughout Shas that Bia B'miktsas is in fact considered a Bia. It's considered as if you actually walked into the Azara. Now, if it's considered as if he actually walked into the Azara, so how is he allowed to do it? The answer is very simple, because the Torah instructs him to do so. So, according to the Shita of Ula, that Bia B'miktsas Shmei Bia, and according to, therefore, and Amar Mitzora, who's putting his appendages into the Azara. So in doing so, he has now a Torah allowance to do so. So now, let's put everything together. So, by virtue of the fact now that he's a Mitzora on day number 8, coupled with the fact that now he's a Balkeri, so we are now looking at restriction, followed by now a new restriction. The Balkeri restriction has now precluded him, has restricted him again. Now, the truth of the matter is, as we now know, we're slightly more educated, the Balkeri restriction actually doesn't even allow him into the Azara. But the Gemara says, but that's an Issur Derabanan. Okay. But now, he's going to be taking his thumb and his toe, and he's going to be putting it in the Azara. So as the Mitzara, that's news. That's a news flash that he's allowed to do so. It's a heter. So once the Torah gives him a heter for the Mitzara to put his appendages into the Azara, so now he's a Balkeri, Kevan Hov Ishtare, Ishtare. Once the Torah gives an allowance for something that normally would be prohibited, so then we can continue with that allowance and allow him to do the same action, even though he's now a Balkeri, which introduces a new restriction. So this is the idea of Hov Ishtari Ishtari. Okay. In of itself, by the way, that already would have been challenging enough to understand. If you get it, great. I really hope I presented it well and clearly. That's the case study. That's the model of Hov Ishtari Ishtari. Now, here we get to the hard part of today's daf, okay? And it's not the only hard part, but here comes the hard part of today's daf. Now that we have the principle of Hov Ishtari Ishtari, and we have the model, let's see now if we can translate that over into Yibum. Because what the Gemara now is suggesting is that she's Eshesach, but the Torah permits it. She's also Achos Ishto, Hov Ishtari Ishtari. But what we're going to have to do is that we're going to have to take our model case, and we're going to have to parallel it to our case over here. So basically what we're looking at is the case of the Mitzora Balkeri and see when it directly parallels with the case of Eshesach Achos Ishto. Okay, and that's not easy, admittedly, but the Gemara is going to do it. So, Midami, the Gemara says, this is comparable, L'du'ula. So the Gemara says, are these cases really comparable? Tainach, Heichad Nasa Meis V'Achakach Nasa Chai, Demigu Dishtar Yisra Eshesach Tishar Inami Yisra Achos Ishto. So the Gemara says as follows. Look, in order to get to the case where the woman is both Eshesach and Achos Ishto, so you need, by definition, to have two brothers marry two sisters. Okay. Now, we're going to be talking about the dead brother and the live brother. Now, obviously, currently, the dead brother is alive. Okay. We understand that. We're just calling him the dead brother just to identify which one is going to die. So, so who got married first? So did the dead brother get married first or did the live brother get married first? I know out of context it sounds strange, but in context, I hope you understand what I'm saying. So the dead brother, the brother who's going to die. So if the dead brother is married first, says the Gemara, So that actually is great. Because when the dead brother gets married first, so vis-a-vis the live brother now, what is this woman? It's Eshesach. And then the live brother afterwards marries the other sister. So now it's Achos Ishto. So what does the Torah permit? Eshesach. So now this is going to be a match to the case of the Mitzora Balkeri. Because the case of the Mitzora Balkeri, first he was a Mitzora, then he was a Balkeri. Since the Torah gives an allowance for Mitzora, the Torah also gives an allowance for Balkeri as well. That's Hov Ishtar Ishtare. So if the Mace marries first and then the Chai marries afterwards, then you have the Eshesach Isser, followed then by the Achos Ishto Isser, which is a good match. But the Gemara says, but if we go in the other direction, but if the live brother gets married first, which first introduces him to this woman as Achos Ishto, and then only afterwards his brother marries the sister, now she's Eshesach, well then that's not, then the cases are not parallel. Because what the Torah allows for is Eshesach, but that was only introduced after Achos Ishto. And the Gemara says, and I'll tell you what, even in the case where the dead brother marries first, it's still not perfectly parallel. So the Gemara says, and also look, if the dead brother marries first and then he dies, and then you marry the sister, so now what happened in between? What happened in between is that there was a perfect point of heter. In other words, consider, the dead brother marries and then he dies. For you now, the Eshesach is totally permissible. That's the mitzvah of Yibum. More than permissible, meaning it's a mitzvah. But in other words, but now there's an allowance vis-a-vis Eshesach. And now afterwards, you marry the sister. And now you introduce the new Isser of Achos Ishto. Ah, but at that point in time, you had a totally unadulterated, sorry for the word choice. You had a perfectly unadulterated point of heter, and then afterwards the Isser is introduced. That's parallel to the case of the Mitzora Balkeri, because think about it. In the case of the Mitzora Balkeri, so what happens when he wakes up on the morning of the eighth day? He is perfectly allowed to go into the Azara. Now I say go into the Azara. I mean his thumb and his toe, but again, like Ula, be a mimitzma shmebiya. So he has a perfect heter to do so. And then afterwards he becomes a Balkeri. That's when we say Ho Vishtari Ishtare. Because the heter is without anything else mixed in with the heter. It's just heter gomer. So the only way it's parallel to our case over here is when the mace marries the woman first, he then dies, and then the brother marries the sister. So at that point in time, you had a moment of complete heter. But Ella nasa meis v'lo meis v'achar kach nasa chai lo ichzele klal. So and what? And in a case in which you have the mace marrying first, and then the chai marrying, and then the mace actually dying, so now there was never a point where it was just heter in of itself. So milo modi ulo shimra keri b'leil shmina shei machnis yadav lebahonos shiyol shalo yatzav b'shar shehi ru'uy la'avi ba'karban. Well, consider the following. Let's say he didn't become a Balkeri on day number 8, but let's say he became a Balkeri the night prior. Oh. If he became a Balkeri the night prior, so there we would not say, Ula would not say Hol Vishtari Ishtari. The Svara of Hol Vishtari Vishtari means that there had to have been a moment in time where it was Heter Gamur. And then you overlay on top of that another Isser, then we say Hol Vishtari Ishtari. But if the second Isser was introduced at the beginning, and there was never a moment of Heter Gamor, so Ula will admit in that case that we won't say Hov Ishtar Ishtari. So Ella, just wait one second. Let's just finish this thread. Ella ki Isser Echalea Hecha Denasameis V'achakach Nasachai. So the Gemara says, okay, so you know what? I'm going to concede the point. Meaning, even in this argument of Hov Ishtar Ishtari, it's going to be a really limited application. The whole Vishari Shari Svara is only going to be limited to a circumstance where first the mace marries his wife. So that means that his wife vis-a-vis the Yavam, the future Yavam, vis-a-vis the Yavam is Eshesach. Then what happens is that he dies, the married man dies. Then the Yavam goes ahead and marries the sister of this Yavam, of the Yavama, sorry, the sister of the Yavama. Now that introduces the next Isser of Achos Ishto. So in that case over there, where I had Eshesach, which the Torah allowed, then on top of that, you had Achos Ishto. But only after there was Heter Gamur, then in that case over there, we would in fact employ the svara of hov ishtari ishtari. And for that case, and let's pause to emphasize, and only in that case, do I need the drasha of aleha, meaning enachinami. The aleha, without aleha, in most cases, right? I'm going to make up a stat. In 99 out of 100 cases, you're not going to need aleha because, in other words, there's no heter. But in a scenario, in a limited scenario where there is a heter gamur, and then on top of that, there's another erva, so hov ishtari ishtari, in that case over there, for that case, I need the drasha of aleha. Okay, Danny, let's go. Correct. They're both daraisa. Meaning, the only thing that part of the Gemara was confusing. I'm here to. No. That part is confusing. The derabbanan of the Balkari is to be in Har Abayis. In other words, after the Tevul Yom of the Balkari, his restriction of being in the Har Abayis is a din derabbanan, not a din daraisa. But that's not the focus. The focus of the Gemara is that Balkari putting his hands into the azara. That's an issa daraisa. That's an issa daraisa.
And in the case of the daughter, because she was his daughter first, it also doesn't apply.
Let's just keep it to the Gemara's case over here. In other words, the Gemara's case over here is that the two arayas are eshes ach and achos ishto. Let's just keep it there. It's as it is already. It's confusing enough as it is. So in that case over there,
the heter has to be perfect.
The heter has to be presented in of itself, without any isser. And then only afterwards the isser is introduced, then in that case we'll say, ho, vishtari, shtari. And the Gemara says, you're right. We would have said that, and that's why I need aleha. Okay. We are on Chesam and Aleph. That was a really tough part of today's daf. Admittedly, Baruch Hashem, I put a lot of work into understanding it. Hopefully I communicated it well. I admit that was a really tough part. Ibai Seima. We are now on Chesam and Aleph. We are about a dozen lines from the top of the Amud. Ibai Seima Asya Be'ekesha, Midirabiona. So the Gemara says, or we also have the Hekesh of Rabbi Yonah. This Hekesh of Rabbi Yonah, we're going to be hearing a couple times over the course of our Masechta, and that is Rabbi Yonah, Da'amar Rabbi Yonah, V'tem Rav Huna, B'reid Rav Yeshua, Amar Kraki, Kol Asher Yaseh, Mikol HaTov Osa'ila, V'nichrasa, Hukshu Kol HaArayis, Kulon Le'eshasach. So we know that after the Torah introduces us to all the arayas, meaning open up Vayikra, Achrei Mos, Perek Yud Ches, and there you're gonna read about every one of the arayas. And at the end of that parsha, the Torah says, "Kol Asher Yaseh Mikol HaToevos HaEila," grouping all these together. And the purpose of the grouping is what? Now Rashi over here points out that the purpose of the grouping is to teach us a halacha that we're going to learn later in the Masechta, and a really specific halacha. It's graphic, but it's the halacha is that when does one violate the actual arayas itself? So at the point of ha'ara. The point of ha'ara means that's partial penetration, meaning you don't need full penetration in order to violate the issur of arayas. It's just partial penetration. That in of itself is going to incur the kares penalty. Okay, that's a point that we're going to learn later in the Masechta. So that's the primary purpose of the hekesh. However, for our purposes over here, we are going to be making an additional point regarding the hekesh. And the Gemara now makes it right now. Hukshu kol arayas kolan le'ishasach. Ma ishasach sharya af kol arayas nami sharyan. Well, you know, Eshesach is mutter. Well, Eshesach is mutter. So all the other ones are mutter as well. Meaning, if we're grouping all them together, and we know that in the case of Yibum, the Torah allows for Eshesach. Hey, if the Torah allows for Eshesach, so then why not give an allowance for any of the other arayos? So Kasa Rechmana Aleha. That's why I need Aleha. Okay, this is what's now called another pathway. Right. This is again going in line with yesterday's daf and the day before. In other words, the Gemara is exploring so many different types of methodologies in terms of what we could have thought using applying any one of the methodologies, and that's why I need aleha. This is what's called hekesh, by virtue of the fact that the Torah groups them all together. So now I would have thought, via hekesh, that should be mutter. Ah, so the pasuk tells me no. So I'm le Rav Achim Diftel Ravina Michti Kol Arayasi Kol Akshun Le Eshesach V'ika Lakshun Le Achos Isha. So my chaz is Akshun Le Achos Isha Akshun Le Eshesach. So simple question. So we have a hekesh. And the hekesh tells me that they're all to be grouped the same. Just like achos ishto is aser, so to all the other arayas are aser. Wait one second. How about this? Just like eshesach is mutter, so all of them should be mutter. Meaning once hekesh is dictating that they're all the same, and we have two ways to turn the switch. either to Achus Ishto, meaning Isser, or to Eshetzach, creating Heter. So why am I going in the direction of Achus Ishto? So the Gemara says, Ibai Sema Lakula, V'chomer L'chomer Makshinan. So the Gemara says, well, we do have a rule. We say this a number of times throughout Shas. We have a Hekesh. The Hekesh can go in one of two directions, so we're going to go L'chomer. That's a rule. The Ibai Sema Hacha Treisur, V'Hacha Treisuri, V'Trei V'Trei Yalfinan, V'Hacha Chadisur, V'Trei Mechad Alo Yalfinan. Or an alternative way to say it is as follows. In the case of Eshetzach and Yibum, how many Arayos are we looking at? One. In the case of Achos Ishto, by definition, it's going to be two Arayos. Because, again, one person, two Arayos. Why? Because, again, the Yibum opportunity is by definition going to be with Eshetzach. In addition to that, she's also Achos Ishto, that's two. And it would be true by any of the other Arayos, meaning go back to our first Mishnah and go over each one of the Arayos that are introduced in the first Mishnah. Bito, et cetera, et cetera. So all of them, by definition, are going to be two Arayos. So I have an option of making a Hekesh to Eshetzach, that's one Erva, or I have an option to go with Achos Ishto, which is two Arayos, which would match all the other Arayos in the context of Yibum. Obviously, it's a better match to go two than to match one, which is unique only to Eshetzach. Okay. Pause over here. The Gemara has spent a good amount of time, a really good amount of time, trying to outline and explain to us why I would have thought without the drasha that one would be allowed to marry his brother's widow, even if she was another erva. And now since Daf Gimel Amud Beis, so the Gemara has endeavored to explain to us why we would have entertained and thought that that the arayos should be mutter in the case of Yibum, not just Eshetzach, but other arayos as well. And that's why the Torah has to give us the drasha of Alaha. Okay. And all this because we have a general principle, a concept of Ese Docha Lo Sase. And not only is Ese Docha Lo Sase, but Ese is going to be Docha Lo Sase, even if the Lo Sase is a Lav Sheish Bo Kares. Okay. And that's why I needed the drasha. Rava is going to change a little bit in terms of our thinking here, right in the middle of Chesem and Aleph. Rav Amar Erva Lo Tzricha Kra. Rav says, let's be honest. If she's any other erva other than Eshetzach, I don't need a pasuk. I don't need a drasha. De'ena esei dochalos asei shesh bokaris. Because over here, I know, says Rav, an esei dochalos asei, I'm fully not only aware of that. In other words, that's basic, but that's it. In other words, the limits are esei doche, just a standard los asei. But once it's a lav sheish bokaris, so now the game has changed, and there's no way a mitzvah sesei can override a lo sasei sheish bokaris. Now, I know that these gemaras are hard because in yesterday's gemara, just as recently as yesterday, so the gemara's expression is mali, I'm just quoting from yesterday's daf, mali chumazuta, mali chumaraba. Well, what difference does it make? What kind of lav we're talking about? Meaning a lav is anyway stronger than an essay, and the essay is overriding the lav. So once we see that the essay is able to move up in class divisions and weight divisions. Okay, boxing reference. You can ignore me. So once we see that the essay can fight anybody, so what difference does it make what lav it is? Okay, we said that yesterday. Okay, that was yesterday's stuff. Rava now is saying, no, it's not the case. An essay is docha lo sase, but an essay is not going to be docha a lo sase sheish bokaris. So, ki itzerech kra lemeser tzara. So now, from Rava's standpoint, so can a Yava marry his Yavama if she's any other erva other than Eshetzach? The answer is unequivocally no. No. And I don't need a drasha to teach me otherwise. Okay, now here's the problem. Going all the way back to Daf Gimel Amud Beis, so the reason why we've been now discussing, since Gimel Amud Beis, this topic is because we do have a drasha. So Rava, what are you doing about the drasha that we saw back on Daf Gimel Amud Beis? So the Gemara goes on to explain. Ve'erva lo tzricha kra. I'm sorry. The ki itzerech kra lemeisot tzara. Obviously, do you know what is being prohibited? The co-wife is being prohibited. So again, just to illustrate, we did this back on the beginning of the Masechta. So let's say that your brother was not only married to your daughter, but your brother was also married to another woman as well. So that is the co-wife of an erva, tzara serva. What did we learn back in the Mishnah Daf Beis? We learned in the Mishnah. Now, not only is your daughter going to be prohibited to you, but Sarah Serva is also going to be prohibited to you as well. That's novel. That's why I need a drasha. The drasha is for Sarah Serva. The erva lo tzricha kra v'atanya. So the Gemara says, first of all, does that work textually? meaning we're going to go all the way back to Daf Gimel Amud Beis. We're going to revisit the Braisa. And here we're just quoting a line from the Braisa. Ein li Elohi. Hey, remember that line of the Braisa? Ein li Elohi. The Braisa is saying, I only know about her. That's a reference to the Erva. So, nah, the Gemara says Mishum Tzarasa. Nah. Yeah, you have to go back to the Braisa and reinterpret the Braisa. The He is a reference to the Braisa. So the Gemara says, really? V'hakitani, wait 1 second. V'hakitani ein le lahain? So the Gemara says, but then the Braisa goes on to say, and I only know about them. Meaning, that seemingly is talking about the Tzara now. So the Gemara says, no, Mishum Tzara Sehem. No, that's just a reference to the derivative of the derivative, the Tzara of the Tzara. Okay, so, even though a simple reading of the Braisa would indicate that we're talking about the Erva herself, so the Gemara reinterprets the Braisa. No, we're not talking about the Erva, we're talking about Tzara's Erva. Okay, Tashma. Okay, so, we are now in a new line of thinking. Rava's thinking. Rava is introducing to us now on here on Ches Amud Aleph that never for a moment are we entertaining that a mitzvah sase can override a lo sase sheish bokaris. Okay, good. That's good. What about the drasha? The drasha is for tzaras derva. And now what the Gemara wants to do is litigate. Is this right? So Tashma. The Gemara says, well, let's consider the following. Rabbi Omer v'lakach v'lakcha v'yabem v'yabma laser tzaros v'arayos. Rebbe teaches us what we already learned at the beginning of the Masechta, but he has a slightly different drasha. The Torah could have said v'lakach. It says v'lakcha. The Torah could have said v'yabem. The Torah says v'yibma. That hey, what does it do? It's a miyut. It tells me, yeah, you can do yibum, but limited. So, what do we mean limited? You can't do it in the tzara v'arayos. Now, what does that mean? So, presumably what it means is that if, let's say, the Yavama is an Erva. Again, she of course is an Erva. She's a Shetzach. But what we mean by that is any other Erva, you can't do it. If it's Saras Erva, you can't do it. It sounds like from Rebbe's Drasha that we're having a Drasha not only for the Saras Erva, but it sounds like we're having a Drasha also for the Erva herself. So the Gemara says, no, Eim Alesor, Saras Shel Arayos. No. So the Gemara says, no. What Rebbe meant was the Sarah of the Erva. That's all he meant. Now, v'hatre kri kanasivle. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. Those were two psukim. So two drashas. So my love chal erva v'chal tzara. Now, if there are two drashas, one for the erva and one for the tzara, right? And again, this is a question on Rava. Because Rava says that for the erva itself, we don't need a drasha. So the Gemara says, lo, ida v'ida l'tzara. Chad l'meitza tzara b'makom mitzvah, v'chad l'mishri tzara shalom b'makom mitzvah. And one is to prohibit tzara b'makom mitzvah, and the other one is to permit Tzara shelo b'makom mitzvah. Meaning, consider, what happens if, let's say, your daughter's married, not to your brother, but your daughter's married to another guy. And in that circumstance over there, where your daughter's married to another guy, so now, that guy dies. Obviously, you can't marry your daughter. That's a devar pashut. What about the co-wife? Can you marry the co-wife? For that, I need a drasha. The drasha is there to tell me that the only time Tzara's erva is going to be prohibited is only b'makom mitzvah, only in a yibum context. Out of a yibum context, it would be permitted. So my time of v'yabem v'yibma. So the Gemara now goes on to explain. How do we get there? So v'yabem v'yibma, that's the extra hay. B'makom yibum hu dasiri tzara. That's only in the yibum context is the tzara going to be prohibited. Shalom b'makom yibum sharya. Sharya tzara. But in a non-yibum context, the co-wife would be permitted. I'm Ravashi. Ravashi says, this idea of Rava, love it. Not only do I love it, look at the Mishnah. You'll see it actually, it reads into the Mishnah beautifully. Masisa nami deka diktani. Look at the language of the Mishnah. Chamesh asrei nashim, potro saraseim. 15 women, what are they going to do? They're going to release their co-wife. Meaning, what are we talking about? We're talking about, or I should say better. What is the focus on? The focus is on the co-wife. V'ilu peturos upotros lokatani. You see, a careful reading of the Mishnah would indicate it doesn't mention anything about the erva herself because that's a given. It doesn't say that the erva is herself excused and exempt from yibum. It just simply says that she exempts the co-wife. Because as far as she herself is concerned, it was a given already. So shma mina. So you see that Rava's really right. Rava's reading of the Mishnah Rav Ashi's reading of the Mishnah really conforms and fits into what Rav is saying, is that vis-a-vis the Erva herself, we knew that. That was a given. She is an erva b'makom. I'm sorry. She's a lav sheish b'karis. And we know that an essay cannot override a lav sheish b'karis. And it's only now going to be a question of what about the tzara? And for that, we need a drasha. So the Gemara says, well, wait one second. Let's actually think about this from a svara standpoint. Why do I not need a pasuk for the erva herself? Because it's a lav sheish b'karis. So, tsaranami lo ti baikra, mishum de ein ese dochelos ase sheish bokaris. Well, a tsara's erva, isn't that the same? Meaning, what the Gemara now is proposing is the following. Tsara's erva is in fact prohibited. What is the nature of a prohibition? In what degree is she prohibited? What the Gemara now is introducing us to is the idea that she is basically tantamount to an erva. Just like the erva, by definition, is an erva, tsaras erva is also an erva as well. Now, granted, by the way, we only know about tsaras erva because of the drasha of litzrur, like we said all the way back on Daf Gimel. But when all said and done, if you cannot marry your brother's wife, period. You can't marry your brother's wife if she, let's do that again. If you can't marry your brother's wife because she is another erva to you, i.e. she's your daughter, so the co-wife is also going to be branded the same type of status as well. She is now going to be an erva. So once we've established that for the erva herself, so that the essay is not going to override the los assay sheish bokares, so why don't we say the same thing regarding the tsara? Amalei Ravacha Barbibi Mar LeRavina Achi Kamar Mishmei DeRava. So the Gemara says, okay, this is what they say in the name of Rava. Tsarinami lo itzirch kra. So to which the Gemara says, you know what? Point very well taken. Ki itzirch kra lemishrei tsara shelo b'makom mitzvah. Oh, so you're right. So the Gemara now is going to just slightly reformulate its thinking. Regarding the erva herself, I don't need a pasuk. Regarding tsaras erva, I also don't need a pasuk. Because again, a tsaras erva is an erva. And just like an erva is a lav sheish bokares, does not require a drasha, so to tsaras erva, lav sheish bokares, does not require a drasha. What do I need it for? I need it for tsaras erva shelo b'makom mitzvah. Meaning, your daughter married, not your brother, your daughter married somebody else. And that somebody else died. And now that leaves your daughter and the co-wife. In that circumstance, you're allowed to marry the co-wife. My taima, amakra aleha. For that, we have the drasha. And that is b'makom aleha, only in the yibum context. Hu da siri shelo b'makom aleha sharyei. But if it's a non-yibum context, so then the co-wife would be permitted. Okay. Amalei rami. So, the Gemara says, why don't we make the following suggestion? And I know this next suggestion of the Gemara over here is going to be almost a really difficult suggestion of the Gemara, but let's at least attempt. Well, why don't we suggest that the erva, if it's a non-mitzvah scenario, maybe she should be mutter. What? V'lav kavachomer. So the Gemara says, how can you even entertain that? If she's prohibited in a mitzvah context, so take away the mitzvah, you don't think she's going to be prohibited? So the Gemara says, well, I know that's a really strong argument, but consider the co-wife. Where in a mitzvah scenario, she's prohibited. And in a non-mitzvah circumstance, she's permitted. So in other words, you see that things change drastically, right? Literally, 180 when going from a mitzvah context to a non-mitzvah context. The tsaras erva goes from being usur in a mitzvah context to mutter in a non-mitzvah context. So the idea that things are going to flip from a mitzvah context to a non-mitzvah context, I don't know, says the Gemara. Maybe we could say the same thing regarding an erva herself. In a mitzvah context, she would be, she'd be usur. But in a non-mitzvah context, maybe she'd be mutter. So Amar Le, Allah Hamakra Bechayeha, Kol Shebechayeha. So to which the Gemara says, no, you can't say that. In other words, Bechayeha comes to tell me that she's an erva, she's always going to be an erva. So Hai Bechayeha mi bai lemutei lachamisa. So the Gemara says, wait one second, that drasha you just quoted, that once an erva, always an erva. So no, in other words, that pasuk over there is coming to tell me a whole different point. Notably, you're allowed to marry your sister-in-law, meaning your wife's sister. So after your wife dies, you're allowed to marry your wife's sister. This is, as we pointed out numerous times, the only exception to all the other arayas. All the other arayas are an erva indefinitely. Even if the reason why they're an erva no longer exists, i.e., let's say she's your daughter-in-law, and Rachmanis, your son, dies. So now she's no longer your daughter-in-law. From an erva standpoint, she's your daughter-in-law. The notable exception to that is your sister. Your sister is an erva. Your wife's sister is an erva, but once the wife dies, she's no longer an erva. So the Gemara says, yeah, but ahim evi'isha l'chaso nafka. Yeah, you're right, but we have a drasha for that. So the Gemara says, no. If I had isha l'chaso that I'm not allowed to marry two sisters, I might have entertained the possibility that you can marry your wife's sister after you divorce your wife. So tamalomer b'chaya, kosha b'chaya, dafagav d'niskarsha, lo. The chaya comes to tell me that no. The only allowance to marry your wife's sister is only after the death of your wife.
Correct.
For all the other arayas, once an erva, always an erva. The only allowance is for one's wife's sister, and that's only after the death of one's wife. So, Ella Amar Rav Huna Bar Tachlifa Mishmei Derava Trei Krai Ksiva. So the Gemara is going to explain this a little bit better. Ksiv Isha L'Chosa Lo Sikach L'Tzror. So one pasuk says that you're not allowed to marry two sisters. Uksiv L'Galos Ervasa. And it says that you're not allowed to be with her. Chadamashma, the Chadamashma. Haketzad. So how does this work out? B'makom mitzvah shteim asuros. Shlo b'makom mitzvah hi asur v'tzaras muteres. So if it's b'makom mitzvah, the two become asur. Again, the yavama is asur because now she's not only a shesach, but she's another erva as well. So not only is she going to be prohibited, but the co-wife is going to be prohibited. And shlo b'makom mitzvah now in a non-yibum context. So what happens now when the erva and the co-wife are now widowed? So only the erva is going to be prohibited, but the co-wife is going to be mutter. He has served at Saras and Muteris. And that is based on the two psukim. One pasuk says, Isha el achosa, which means both. Litzror, litzror is the double resh, is going on both. And the other pasuk is legalos erva sa. Only the erva, but not the co-wife. So you're going to have two scenarios. One scenario in which they're both going to be asur, and one scenario when one is asur and the other is mutter. And for a moment in time, the Gemara is going to at least entertain, well, how do I know? Meaning, I know the conclusion, but how do I know the circumstance? Epoch ana. Why don't we flip it around? B'malko mitzvah, he has served saras and muteris. Maybe let's suggest the following. That in the Yibum context, so maybe the erva is asur, but the tzara would be mutter. Ushalo b'malko mitzvah, in a non-Yibum context, shteim asuros. They both would be asur. The Gemara says, what? Im kain lo yamar alaha. Well, if that's true, so then what do I need the drasha of alaha for? Meaning the drasha of alaha is coming to, obviously, tell me that there is some prohibition. But if you're telling me that they're both going to be asur, so I don't need the word alaha. Amalei Rav Asher Rav Kana Mimai Dehai Alah Li Sura. How do I know that the Allah is coming to be Oser Dimalei Tera? Maybe the Allah is coming to be Matir. V'achi Kamar Rechmana. Isha L'chasa Lo Sikach Litzror. Lo Hiv Lo Tzarasa. Shelo B'makom Alaha. So maybe Isha L'chasa, which is telling me that not only the Erva, but the co-wife as well, they're both going to be prohibited. Maybe that's talking about a case where it's a non-Yibum circumstance, but in a Yibum circumstance, Shem Mutaris, maybe they both would be Mutter. So, Im Kain Legalos Erva Dechada Hechemishkachala. So the Gemara says, yeah, but don't forget about the other Pasuk. The other Pasuk tells me that we have a circumstance in which the Erva is Aser and the co-wife is Mutter. So, Iba Makom Mitzvah Shem Mutaris. Well, in your current proposal, in a Makom Mitzvah, they both would be Mutter. And Ishalaba Makom Mitzvah Shem Asuros. And then if it's not Makom Mitzvah, they both would be Aser. But then we have no way to fit in that other Pasuk, where that other Pasuk teaches me that one is Mutter and the other one's Aser. So the only way that this puzzle works is only where, B'Makom Mitzvah, they're both Aser, and Shelo B'Makom Mitzvah, the Erva's Aser, and the co-wife is going to be Mutter. Okay. Okay, we're going to pause over here. Tomorrow we're going to start the two dots. Let's quickly recap. And let's review a difficult daf, okay? It's no way around it. Today's daf was challenging. Why do I need the word alaha? The question that was proposed already back on daf Gimel Amud Beis and continues all the way to today's daf Ches. So what the Gemara entertained at the beginning of today's daf is that we have the concept of hol v'shtar yishtare. Once the Torah gives an allowance, so you can have another iser piggyback on the first allowance, right? Once there's passage, there's a breach, so therefore other isurim can go through that same breach. Okay, football reference over here, but basically a lead blocker, if you will. So have another iser go right behind it. So the Gemara, and we learned that this is true in the case of the Mitzorah Balkari, where in that circumstance over there, we clearly see the principle of Hol Vishtar Vishtare. So the Gemara says, yeah, you're right. So under those circumstances, I can have Eshetach, which is the first heter, and I can have follow behind it the Achos Ishta, the second heter, the second Isser, which is now going to be allowed, so we can have the Hol Vishtar Vishtare. Although at the end of that our first discussion of today's daf, the parallel is a really limited scenario. It's a scenario where the first Isser existed in of itself, where the Torah is matur it all by itself, and only afterwards do I have the second Isser coming and introducing itself on top of it. Only in that circumstance, which is a really limited application. That was all one. Second part of today's daf, we have a Hekesh. The Torah at the end of Arai says they're all connected one to another. And so since they're all connected one to another, and since Achos Ishta is going to be prohibited, all the other rites are going to be prohibited as well via Hekesh. But we can also be Makish to the Eshesach. Why don't we make a Hekesh to Eshesach? So the Gemara gives one of two answers. One, because we're making a Hekesh and having two routes to go, and one route is Chumrah and the other one is Kula, you're Makshinan L'Chumrah. Our Hekesh goes in the direction of Chumrah. And the second approach of the Gemara is that it's just a better match to Achos Ishta, because there, in that case, there are two Arayos as opposed to Eshesach, where there's only one Erva. All the other arayos are more comparable to Achos Ishta. Okay. Next, Rava. On Chesamad Aleph, Rava does an about face on a lot of the previous discussion, in which Rava says that if it's a essay versus a los essay sheish bokares, no way an essay is able to knock that out. Contrary to what the Gemara was proposing for the last number of Dapim, Rava asserts no. I don't need a pasuk for essay versus a los asay sheish bokares. The los asay sheish bokares is going to win out. Question, why then do I need a drasha? Meaning, I now know without a drasha that if she's any other erva, so you can't, there's no heter. So why do I need a drasha? So the answer of the Gemara is, I need a drasha for the tzara, not for the erva herself, but for the tzara. To which the Gemara says, wait 1 second. What is the tzara? A tzara also now becomes an erva. And if the tzara's erva now is taking on the role of the erva, she's also a lav sheish bokares. So question again. Why do I need a drasha? So the Gemara says, you're right. The drasha is not there to teach me iser. The drasha is there to teach me heter. What's the heter? Is that tzara's erva shelo b'makom mitzvah in a non-yibum context, you're allowed to marry the erva. That's why I need a drasha. And then the Gemara concluded today's daf with, we really have two psukim, one telling us is that the erva and the co-wife are usur, one telling us that only the erva is usur, but not the co-wife, and what do? I plug it in. And the only way that it successfully plugs in is that b'makom mitzvah, they're both usur. Shelo b'makom mitzvah, the erva is usur, and the co-wife is going to be mutter.